Ms. Trafficante.
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel, may it please the Court. My name is Claudia Trafficante, and I'm a criminal justice attorney for Dwight Deloney, the defendant appellant here today. The reason, Your Honor, that Deloney has filed his brief for your review is that the record is clear at the time of sentencing that the district court fails to give an individualized assessment of Deloney. What the record is clear of saying is that the judge admits that it had not reviewed the new guidelines. It admits on the record that the guidelines, as they were fair and reasonable. It fails to give any consideration to the 3553A factors and the evidence that was presented on behalf of Deloney. When it gave his sentence, the judge assessment of Deloney was that he was a drug dealer. And on the record, he states, "I don't like drug dealers." He doesn't mention his college.
It's very hard to find federal judges who do like drug dealers.
I would agree, and anyone else. But when he does his assessment, he doesn't bring up the college education and that he was one or two credits short of graduating college. He doesn't consider his family ties. He asks Mr. Deloney on the record, "Is your mother alive?" And 4 days prior, she had testified. He had asked the defendant whether any letters were submitted, and letters were submitted. By those acts on the record, and by making these statements in court, the mother example, she sat 5 feet from the judge 4 days prior. She testified at sentencing that regarding his college education, the fact that he dropped out of college, the fact that he was trying to take care of the girlfriend that was pregnant and she was having problems with the pregnancies in and out of the emergency room, the fact that he always worked, the fact that he was never arrested of any serious crime. I think there was a crime 7 years prior from some disturbance of the peace, but they didn't even give him one level point. She testified to all the rehabilitation that her and her family would contribute to and so forth, and the judge 4 days later, as the courtroom is full, asked Deloney, "Is your mother still alive?" How did he consider any of her testimony when he didn't even remember that she testified? It leads a reasonable person to conclude that it wasn't even considered or that it wasn't even remembered. The same with the letters that were filed. There was letters that were filed.
You start with the premise that almost everybody's got a mother, so I suspect at some stage of the game you must have been aware of it.
At some point.
I'm perfectly willing to admit that you misspoke a couple of times. What's that going to do with the final analysis?
The final analysis is that he didn't consider any of the evidence along with her and the stepfather that had testified regarding to his history and his characteristics as a person under 3553A. There's no mention of it. The record is absolutely blank and absent that any of the evidence that was presented to him was considered. If the district court would even have given a short explanation for rejecting Deloney's arguments, then it would suffice it to make that the record is clear and that there was reasoning underlying the actual sentence. But because the record is absolutely absent of any of the evidence that was presented at Deloney's sentencing, which was for 3 days, then it leads to a pure speculation. Did the district court even consider this?
Ms. Trafficante, wasn't there an indication from the judge that he had read the letters from the family and understood their hopes and desires?
After I advised the district court that there was letters that were attached to the sentencing memorandum, he made an indication, "Oh, those letters. Yes, I did read those." But one of those letters, Your Honor, was a letter from his mother. And thereafter, he asked Deloney whether his mother was alive, and it was filed 2 days prior. And 4 days prior to the third day of sentence, she had testified 5 feet from the court at length over the history and the characteristics of Dwight Deloney. In the sentencing, the court says, "I have considered the fairness of the guidelines and find them fair." And he stops there. He doesn't move forward. That's on Appellant's App 73. You know, and then but prior to there, he says, "I've looked at the guidelines in the case, and I think they're fair and reasonable. I'm not sure that I agree with the new guidelines. I have not completely sat down and considered all of the changes that are being considered." That's Appellant's App 71. Those are the facts of the case. Well, if you haven't considered the new guidelines and are aware of the changes that are forthcoming, then I think at that point the court may have said, well, let's reset the sentencing. Let me become familiar with the new guidelines before I sentence him.
Why? We've held in United States against Alexander that a district court not only need not, but also must not change a sentence based on impending changes in the guidelines. If the district judge had taken account of the upcoming changes, it would have been a legal error. That's what our holding is in Alexander. Now, so why do you think the district judge was obliged to do what Alexander forbids?
Because a month, I think 33 days, I think the sentencing was like September 27th, I think the last day when the judgment came, and November 1st, you know, we had the amendment of the 706 coming in, which would have reduced it to Deloney's.
Yes, you're just restating the proposition, but you aren't coping with our decision in Alexander. Is there some way your argument could be reconciled with the holding in Alexander?
No. No. But it goes towards the actual offense. It goes towards the actual offense. And had he been sentenced 33 days later, there would have been a two-level reduction. He could have considered under Gall the disparity of the crack cocaine. But what he does on the record is he turns it around. And he says, I think they're going to increase the levels of cocaine up to crack. He says the opposite of what is true. In the record, he cites that and states that appellant's app on 64, and if anything, they're going to change it. They're going to increase the powder cocaine to the level of crack. And if I remember, I think Phil Graham made that comment saying that he agreed that there was a disparity and he thought it would be straightened out. And the suggestion was to bring up the powder cocaine up to the equal width of crack, which is completely counter of what was going on. I mean, this amendment was already going through reducing the crack level. And on the record, he says, I think they're going to raise the powder cocaine level. I think that's inappropriate. And with that mindset...
You know, you're in your rebuttal time.
With that mindset, I think it was unreasonable to sentence Deloney and not to give any explanations as to why he was sentencing him without giving any of the evidence and consideration to the evidence that was presented through 3 days. And by making these assertions, which the court was well aware that were untrue, and by flipping around the actual truth of the matter. And as a result, we ask that Deloney be remanded back to the sentencing court with instructions to the court to consider the 3553A factors and all the factors that are supportive and, you know, in the record through the 3-day sentencing period. There's no further questions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Ratcliffe.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom Ratcliffe. I represent the United States government in this case. Counsel obviously has taken Judge Lozano to task for misspeaking, as he apparently did during the sentencing hearing, regarding asking the defendant if his mother was still alive. However, as somebody who worked for Judge Lozano for 3 years and has practiced before him for another 4, I can tell you that Judge Lozano has a boilerplate that he goes through at sentencing hearings. And the context in which he asked the defendant, is your mother still alive, was when he was starting down the path of making the point that he always makes with defendants at sentencing of, do you have a family support system? Is, for example, your mother still alive? Is she going to be there when you get out? Do you have family who's going to support you? And you better not let them down. And one thing he likes to say is, and if your mother's still alive, when you get out and you start down this path, you better tell her so that she can come in and hit you with a baseball bat or something to that effect. Certainly, Judge Lozano, for a moment, as he was going through his standard spiel to a defendant at sentencing, when the final moments came, when the defendant was going to learn his sentence, forgetting apparently that the defendant's mother had testified 4 days before during one of 3 lengthy contested sentencing hearings in this case that were, by the way, all made unnecessary by the defendant's withdrawal of his frivolous objection to the gun enhancement, that error on Judge Lozano's part cannot be reasonable evidence that Judge Lozano didn't look at the defendant's history or didn't take the factors under 3553A into account. What counsel is arguing is, for example, that that the defendant should have been able to engage in a lengthy conversation with Judge Lozano regarding, as counsel points out now, his lack of criminal history, his the fact that he has no violent history, his, quote, no risk of recidivism, despite his previous offenses. And I don't think anyone can ever argue that there is no risk of recidivism. But counsel lists strong family ties, family support in the community, the defendant's college education, his completion of a drug treatment program, and the, quote, extreme remorse he exhibited by voluntarily turning himself in after, by the way, a search warrant was conducted at his house and his sister was taken into custody and the guns and drugs were found. All of those things, she says, Judge Lozano should have gone over with him in detail. Some of those things, of course, were already taken into account in the PSR. Of course, the defendant's criminal history is already calculated in the PSR. There's no reason for Judge Lozano to have engaged defense counsel or the defendant at sentencing on that issue. His preposterous claim that he had no risk of recidivism, Judge Lozano was apparently, despite this court's holding in Cunningham, supposed to engage the defendant on that at sentencing and specifically address and explain why that was not going to be a factor in his sentence. But Judge Lozano, Your Honors, as you know, no district court judge is required to engage a defendant to address these frivolous arguments, to address arguments that don't have any meaningful merit, and certainly for the arguments that were already incorporated as factors into the PSR and the defendant's guidelines calculations, Judge Lozano was not under any obligation to address those. The fact that he didn't, the fact that he was finally trying to get this sentencing hearing done after the defendant had taken 3 days with multiple testimony, putting on this testimony from his sister that the court found perjurious and had not one ounce of credibility in it, the fact that Judge Lozano was trying to wrap things up and skip over the meaningless arguments does not mean that Judge Lozano failed to satisfy his obligations. Judge Lozano properly calculated the guidelines, as properly acknowledged the guidelines calculations that applied in this case. He did apply the 3553A factors. He may not have referred to them specifically, but he certainly talked to the defendant about the need for specific deterrence and the need for general deterrence so that other people didn't commit the same offenses, the same drug offenses as the defendant stood convicted of. The defendant was then sentenced, as you know, to a sentence at the minimum of the applicable guideline range. Yet the defendant now comes in pointing to things like, well, Judge Lozano didn't realize apparently that some letters had been submitted on behalf of family members. Again, the record demonstrates, Judge Flom, as I think you indicated, that Judge Lozano was not careful in making the distinction between letters that had been attached to the sentencing memorandum of the defendant versus letters that often come directly to chambers. Judge Lozano had not received any letters sent directly to chambers. All the letters he received were those attached to the defendant's filings. And in this case, what counsel is really asking for here is the improper relief, is this allegation that Judge Lozano should have applied the then impending changes, the amendments to the guidelines regarding crack cocaine. But I'd like to note that the defendant's argument regarding Judge Lozano's comments about, well, isn't Congress perhaps going to change the guidelines in the sense of raising the powder cocaine guidelines in order to make them more in line with the crack amendments or the crack guidelines? What Judge Lozano was talking about in that context was the possibility that Congress might step in that month between this sentencing hearing and the amendments taking effect and override the Sentencing Commission's decision. Judge Lozano was not misunderstanding the effect of the impending guidelines. He was just acknowledging the fact that they might be changed, and therefore, why should I apply them at this point before they have gone into effect? Seeing no questions, Your Honors, I ask, of course, that
what is his current status? Your brief says he's not filed for a reduction under the retroactive guideline. Is that still true?
He has still not filed that, Your Honor, yes.
Filed.
He is certainly, as we pointed out in our brief, he is certainly
appears to be eligible.
He is certainly eligible, Your Honor, but there are not enough facts in the record to determine, for example, as I noted in the brief, what his conduct in prison has been. And just because he is eligible, as the court well knows, does not mean he is going to get the reduction, the retroactive reduction, if and when he does file for that. But it is certainly the government believes...
We're not going to give it to him, so go ahead.
Right.
I was going to say it is certainly not an appropriate grounds for relief in this appeal. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Traficante?
The problem, Your Honors, is that when Lozano gave the sentence, as the government admits, it was a boilerplate. Rather than giving him an individualized assessment of what type of sentence he received, he went off a boilerplate. I've done this sentence and this line for the last 30 years, and I'm going to continue this line. That's not looking at Mr. Deloney. Same when the government admits that Judge Lozano was not careful. Well, not being careful to a courtroom full of people and the defendant himself means that the record is only going to lead to pure speculation of whether the court considered any of the testimony and letters that were submitted indicating that there are these factors that the court is required to look at. So I think it goes beyond Judge Lozano was not just careful. Judge Lozano's, and I believe my light is coming out, Judge Lozano, it goes to what the government admits, this is his boilerplate standard sentencing dictum, and it was no different that day, even after all this case law has come through, than it was 30 years prior. And at some point that needs to change and to take a look at these defendants prior to sentencing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel, and we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case. Case is taken under advisement.